Hello and welcome to the Feeder Series podcast, your guide to everything from the junior single-seater world. I'm host Jim Kimberley, and it's not really going to be everything from the junior single-seater world this week. It's going to be a bit more British-focused because it's a little bit overdue, but we've had the season starting. The seasons are starting in Europe. I, unfortunately, was not in Britain. I would have needed an umbrella from the things we're about to hear, but I'm joined by three people who were. First up, let me introduce our, and let me tell me if I get this wrong, please, our GB3 and GB4 editor, George Bravner. Anything else you're doing? I know you're a busy guy these days, George.
We've got F4 UAE on the side of the winter, but right now that is, thankfully, all that's on the table.
Yeah, I can imagine just how busy you'd be if you had more to do that as well. And let me welcome for the first time onto the podcast, Gavin Guffrey, our British F4, and question mark, anything else that you're doing as well? Because I know George is a busy guy. Have we got you running around paddocks too?
Just dabbling a little bit in Super Formula Lights and Japanese F4. Oh. Just a tiny bit.
That's a cracking little championship as well. I've got a little bit of stuff to talk about on my side of that, but let me ignore all of that because we also have a driver joining us, very last minute too, and after battling through, well, you've been driving on the weekend, but it sounds like driving today was even more problematic. John Bennett, welcome to the podcast. How can you explain your previous 3 hours of life?
Very painful and slow.
Which hopefully isn't like at the racetrack. But yeah, thanks for having me. I've been a viewer for a while, so yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh, he knows how to warm us up, doesn't he? He's been a viewer for a while. He's wanted to be on the podcast. Yes, well, thank you for coming on. And I really have to stress how last minute it was. It's been much obliged for you to join us and give us some insight into a weekend of racing. Before we get too into everything, because it's going to be a little bit unscripted and I'm not exactly sure where we're going to go. We're going to hear all about what happened on the weekend and the season so far. But if you enjoy watching or listening to the podcast, like Mr. Bennett does, please do drop us a like, follow us on your podcast player of choice, subscribe on YouTube, and leave a comment with your thoughts. We've got over 250,000 views and listens, and thank you, everybody, for all of that support. But back to today, we're here to talk about the weekend that was. We're here to talk about the season that is. We've not done a season preview. We've not done any sort of coverage in the way that I kind of hope to. So, George, let me start with you for the moment. GB3, GB4, F4 UAE, that's in the past. We're not going to talk about that. How is a season looking? We've got so many graduates going into FIA Formula 3 this year, and I can imagine we've got somebody here who's going to be looking to follow in those footsteps. How likely is that? What's new for 2024?
Well, I mean, GB3 is kind of in the best place I think it's ever been, ultimately. Very talented, you know, multinational grid, and it's been expanding into Europe in recent years. So we've got an extra round in Hungary this year. And so, yeah, we've got, I think 8 races, a little European leg up to come. And yeah, it's, you know, in probably the best place it has been, as I say. We've got some, you know, British F4 champion up here. We've got some experienced drivers, such as John, deciding to try and get the championship crown. And yeah, all round a great time for the series right now.
It is. I was speaking to some drivers on the weekend. So a little bit of background for everybody else who isn't these three people who know where I've been. I've been at the Portimao track for the start of Euro Formula Open, and that is a series which is somewhat impacted by the success of GB3 now, even though it's GB versus Europe, because it is attracting, as George is saying, some quality drivers to the grid who can think, I'm going to do a season there rather than paying probably more money. I don't know all the ins and outs to do Euro Formula. And, well, John, you are one of those drivers who are doing GB3 and you are racing around familiar tracks and some unfamiliar tracks this year. How's the season going for you thus far?
Yeah, it's going decently well. Only had 2 rounds so far. Started the season strongly at Alton Park with a P2 and a win. Then yeah, just had Silverstone. We were a bit impacted by the bad weather, but just 2 top 10 finishes. So yeah, I mean, good amount of points starting the season. We've had some good results, good shows of pace. So looking forward to carrying on.
And we're talking about, you say, going to Hungary, going to Spa, going to Zandvoort. It's not really just GB3 at the moment. It's like
GB EU3. One of them.
Yes. Have these guys heard of something called Brexit? What's going on? What's it like to go to these tracks? Because it's not just random tracks. These are F1 tracks. Is this something you think is going to be really beneficial that the championship's doing to get drivers to do that step up to FIA F3?
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing. I mean, it's now my third year in the championship, and every year they've added another European track. So it's quite good, really. Especially coming back for a third year to have a new track to learn makes it even more worth it. And yeah, I mean, the experience to take with you is just invaluable. Because obviously that's a big reason why, you know, a lot of drivers prefer Fracker to a series like GB3 because of the experience they gain for FIA tracks. So to get another one on the calendar is really, really good. And yeah, I mean, what amazing tracks. Like, the GB3 calendar is just so good. I mean, all the English tracks are really good. And then Spa, Zandvoort and Hungary are, you know, three of the best in Europe. So yeah, it's really, really nice.
George, you've been covering the series. I know we've got John obviously on track, but you've been at the tracks as well. You and I were at Silverstone last year, which I remember. It was great to meet you in person. And well, let's be honest, the rain screwed up Silverstone back then as well, and it's screwed up Silverstone this weekend. How was the weekend from the non-John Bennett perspective, George?
Wet. That is definitely the the best description possible. Yeah, I mean, on the Sunday we had, race two was essentially pushed back because of the weather conditions. It was, you know, it was bad. I remember watching some of the Ginettas racing in the morning, and yeah, not the kind of conditions you want to be out in. So yeah, we had only one race on the Sunday, which is a shame, but that race should be rescheduled, to my understanding, next time we visit Silverstone. And yeah, we had a bit of a, I wouldn't say necessarily a flip in results, but some different players, some different characters come to the front. Both Tim Kocharczyk and Will McIntyre got their first wins in the series. And yeah, it's kind of, you know, shaped up a bit more of an interesting fight as we go into Europe at some tracks that are ultimately quite different to where we started.
And Silverstone is the only track, is it, that has two rounds anyway? So this rescheduled thing, John, both of you are nodding for anybody who's not listening. What is that happening with this exodus? There's a third race, which never happened, but they're likely to put it somewhere else in the season. Is that right, from my understanding?
Yeah, so I mean, we had this situation before last year. I remember with GB4 it happened as well, and they'd rescheduled the race to next time we visited that same track. I think with GB4, it was back to still, they had a bit of a weird swap with...
Yeah, GB3 was the same thing. It was the reverse route got cancelled, but then they couldn't reschedule it. But it was a bit late in the season. We only had like two rounds left at that point. But yeah, so hopefully they'll be able to reschedule this, because obviously we've got about the full season to go. So.
Well, full season to go there. And then GB4, George, to keep you on your toes, it's also happening in tandem. And what are you looking for GB4 this year? Not necessarily just in comparison to other years, but it's establishing itself in its own way. And it seems to be benefiting from all of the glory that GB3 is bringing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's I think what is a positive of its situation, it's not being overshadowed in the same way that is, I suppose, a danger with your, you know, your kind of senior category. Doing so well, it's attracting a lot of kind of unique drivers. So we've got some guys in who are quite budget tied, and also are kind of coming through a bit, you know, a little bit slower, you could say. Yeah, it's, you know, it's starting to strengthen, gain more interest, which, you know, it's getting there steadily. It's obviously not the biggest series in position, and by being aimed at a kind of budget entrant, I suppose, it's you have to wait a little bit more to see results materialise and everything like that. But yeah, we've got some great talent in the field and some exciting scholarships and prize money, all that sort of stuff to, you know, help build drivers up through the ranks.
George, you are a fountain of all knowledge, and I know I'm looking forward to John, where you're going to end up next year, maybe the future and how your career goes. But George, I'm also very excited for where you go. This is like, who needs Wikipedia? We've got George Bradman on the podcast. He's going to do it all for you. Wasn't the only racing that was happening, and as we kind of alluded to, Gav, that it wasn't the only racing that was affected by the Great British weather. What can you tell us a little bit up the road in Donington Park? How did British F4 get on with their opening weekend?
Yeah, so it's been quite a dramatic weekend all around, I think. obviously, rain on Sunday. We had the race on, obviously, the first race on Saturday. quite a tumultuous start. We had a lights issue to kick things off, but then, you know, we got going. A cracking start from Deegan Fairclough, who basically, I think he built, I've got my notes here, I think it was a 6-second gap over the 20 laps. So quite dominant showing from him, and it's just some brilliant racing up and down the field. Lots of moves everywhere through road gates, lots of side-by-side action. And then, obviously, Sunday, a lot of rain, everything pushed back. So didn't manage to get race 3 in, fortunately, but race 2, let's see, we had a couple spins, but actually, considering the conditions, really quite clean racing, brilliant tight pack the whole way through. So we had...
How wet was it on the ground? I mean, you have a wet race, but you have like Spa 21 wet, and then you also have like Turkey wet, when it's just a bit drizzly the whole time.
It was, it was starting to clear up. There'd been a lot of cars going through, but it was definitely greasy. When you ran offline at a few places, it was pretty soggy there as well. So I think at that point where probably drivers probably want to start to get going, but maybe a lot of room for the odd slip up, or off track it was pretty awful still.
That sounds like a typical Donington weekend. Yeah. I've been there, and it's pretty awful out there. And I have to ask, and I feel bad almost because there are drivers that beat them, but previous guests on the podcast, and then also F1 Academy, not really saying graduates, but F1 Academy drivers, Chloe Chong was there having switched series, and then you've got Abby Pulling, who's doing the campaign kind of as a alongside. As I saw with the results that Abby scored points, and Chloe was a little bit further down the order. That is a change for both of them in terms of going back to non-segregated racing, and it doesn't look like they embarrass themselves.
Yeah, no. I mean, Abby had a bit of trouble in the second race. It looked like a bit of a lack of confidence with the setup. So, but some of the other drivers, Ella Lloyd had a really impressive time. Some really strong results from her in both races. I think it's 9th and 7th. Could be wrong on that.
8th and 7th from what Wikipedia tells me right now, so that's even better.
Yeah. So obviously really good there. I think obviously Chloe Chong is only second year in single seaters and first in the F4 car. So in the British F4 car, which is slightly different to the F1 Academy. So I think she's still finding her feet, as is Nina Gaidman switching over from sports cars and Citroens and all that. So I think obviously a bit of a range of results for those four, but there's definitely some promising signs for all of them, for sure. I think Abby in the first race is quite impressive as well. I think once she's more has a setup that works for her, she's definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. I remember I spoke to her on the media day. She said, "I'm not championship's kind of out of the question, having to skip a couple of rounds to F1 Academy already." So I think her words were, "We're going to go for, make it a bit harder on the guys, go for a few more moves, maybe some of the others." So, and then obviously Ella's put in some really quite impressive results already. So I think good, definitely a good pack of girls to compete in as well. There's no divide at all, I think.
That is exactly where the sport needs to be, because as much as I support F1 Academy, I think the non-segregated route is how the future will go, and it's good to see. Let me go back onto the GB3 thing a little bit. And George, it's me asking about the graduates that you shared the paddock with, who've gone up to FIA F3. But then we also had this weekend the opposite, that you had like cameo appearances in GB3. How did that come about, and why, and how did they perform?
Yes, I mean, we've obviously had a lot of drivers going up to FIA F3 from last year, which, I think only reinforces GB3's strong position and can kind of set the tone, I think, for drivers who do well in this series in the future, such as John, for example. But yeah, obviously we've had some drivers kind of flipping the tide on that in a way. So for example, we had Martinia Stenson. He came down from FIA F3, where he's obviously won a race already, which is an interesting move, which, having spoken to him, is essentially down to be able to learn Silverstone before the series goes there in, I think, July. And also to experience a different car, because that's a really big selling point of GP3. Although, you know, there are some potential changes on the horizon in that sense. That is one of its strongest selling points. It's got much higher apex speed than the Frecca car, for example, and it's obviously a lot lighter as well, which is all kind of part of, you know, helping shape a driver, I think, as they experience more vehicles.
John, having somebody like Martinus Stenson come in, who's done it, so to speak, in FIA F3, winning race, how does that make you feel when you're going toe-to-toe and beating him in one of the races?
Yeah, that's really good. To be honest, I mean, it's just another name on the lap sheet, really. But it is really good having them joining the grid for this round. You know, James Wharton, Ugo, Martinius, you know, having these European names is great, just to kind of bolster the reputation of GB3 a bit. You know, I think it really just highlighted how competitive the championship is. You know, Stenson is a very talented driver, you know, vice champion of Frecca, F3 race winner. But he, you know, he was... I think he did find the GB3 grids competitive, I think. And then same with, you know, Wharton and Ugo. So yeah, I mean, it's great having them there. You know, they're another benchmark to be looked at. And it's cool to see them on the grid.
John, you're also not necessarily the representative, but you're a long-standing driver in GB3. How have you seen it from the cockpit evolving over the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, I really just think the championship just gets stronger every year. In terms of mostly just the amount of very talented drivers on the grid. You know, I think every year in GB3 and British F3, you know, there have always been standout drivers. You know, like in my first year, you know, when Luke Browning won it, obviously a huge talent. But when you look at the grid, there are only a handful of drivers up the top who could challenge. Whereas then you move into the next year, obviously the grid just gets, you know, more competitive the further down you look. And then this year again, I think the fact that, you know, Stenson was qualifying P14 or something and Wharton P18, obviously they have very, you know, low levels of experience in the GB3, but I think it just speaks volumes about how competitive the grid is, you know, all the way down to the bottom positions. Yeah, I'd say year on year it just gets stronger and stronger. I think it's, you know, international reputation just grows, and obviously we got super license points this year now, which shows the FIA are also taking notice. So yeah, I'd say, you know, there's a reason why I'm in GP3 for a third year, and I think it's just, it's a great place to be. You know, it's like one of the best grids in Europe, and for the money, it's a no-brainer to be here, really. So
good bang for your buck. Right, finally, just on the F4 side of things, and Gav, so the season's just started. I know the GP3 championship's had a couple of rounds so far, but it's kind of thick and fast from now. You've got Brands Hatch in a couple of weeks and Snetterton looking for the circuit. You've got Thruxton back to Silverstone, Zandvoort, Knockhill, Donington Park, Silverstone. So it's a long season, but it's also very busy in the coming months. Are you expecting any sort of driver changes, any sort of fatigue? Who are you expecting to be the front runners come the trip to Zandvoort, which will be a little bit of a holiday?
Yeah, well, obviously it's the first international round for the series. So that's obviously very exciting. And as for sort of who's going to be front runners there, I think we've already seen throughout testing and obviously the first weekend, it's looking like all the road and drivers, all the high tech drivers, they're going to be really strong contenders throughout. Deegan Fairclough is 7 second lead in the first race, regularly top during testing. But I think there are definitely some, and there are a lot of second-year drivers. So James Higgins in the road in, Mick Abrahams took his first win this weekend as well, after Alex Berg's penalty. So, you know, lots of returning guys there who could be strong contenders. But also we've got a lot of really competitive-looking rookies as well. Obviously, Alex Berg, rookie to the championship, coming over from the States. So he won on track at race two after the reverse grid. He looked really quite under control, but fortunately track limits his penalty, unfortunately quite close to the end. So that dropped in just back behind Mecca and Deegan at the end. But he pretty under control the whole race otherwise. It looks good for him. And Jan Puutui, sorry, I'm probably getting that slightly wrong, but the Mercedes junior going in, quite fresh to cars as well. I think he did F4 UAE this year, but apart from that, you know, coming into big step up, but he's looked very impressive as well. And I think he's only going to get quicker and quicker. So, made some really quite impressive moves around the outside in race two as well of a couple of people. So, you know, it's going to be quite tight this half, I reckon.
It's young drivers as well in F4. So there's so much learning, so much advancement for these drivers to go through. So going to be fascinating to see how the season progresses. We'll keep in touch with both of you editors over the season as we progress to see how things are going. And it's getting to the point of the year that it is manic when we've gone from a couple of weekends with, I was going to say TRS, but, you know, the Formula Regional, whatever it's called, down in Australia and New Zealand, FROC. F4 UAE, you get Formula Regional Middle East, all this sort of stuff. And then it goes quiet. And I feel we're just at the cusp of that wave when it's like there's 10 feeder series championships on every single weekend. It's going to get really busy. So thank you for joining us and giving us the intel on that. But I have to switch attention now to John Bennett, because the Feeder Series podcast isn't for me or even Gav and George. It's for our listeners. And they've been asking some questions of you, John Bennett. Are you happy to go through some of these audience questions? And if you listen to the podcast, you know how this goes.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy. Depends what the questions are. Maybe I won't be so happy at the end. But
Well, the first one is from, Discord user who's a regular question asker, and it's called Play McPinvan. But there's something which isn't necessarily tied to the question. Well, let me go for the question first, and we'll come back to the second point. But Joggen, what's your favourite Coldplay song? And if not, why not? I think so. I say, if not a Coldplay fan, why not?
To be honest, I'm really bad at naming music, so I can't really think of anything.
Sing to us instead if you'd prefer.
Is there a? I feel like there's a Coldplay song called Paradise.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Paradise.
And I hope Discord user Coldplay McPin enjoys that song.
Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? There is the thing I wanted to say though is the start of that was Coldplay McPin fan saying Joggen, and Michael McClure also has asked a question. What's the story behind Joggen Bennett?
Yeah, it haunts me. And
it haunts you. Okay, there is a story behind it.
Yeah, I'm known as Joggen in quite a few places now. It's just in my first year at GB3 at the first round at Alton Park. The race weekend brochure put my name down as Joggen Bennett.
And, the printed one.
Yes. Yeah. And ever since then, that is I've just been christened as that. So I think Lewis McLean might have even said it a couple of times on the commentary. So it follows me around.
You're a walking talking meme, is what it sounds like.
Pretty much.
As nicknames go, there could be worse, and I can see how it happened. But some fan who has got that original brochure will be holding on to that when you're an F1 world champion. So I was here when he was still Joggen Bennett. But Michael McClure also wanted to know, besides that, what's the funniest misspelling of your name that you've seen, if any?
I'd say that's about top one. To be honest, my name is quite hard to misspell. It's a pretty
Callum
standard...
Ilott said the same, but you know...
I feel like it's quite a standard name. I haven't really seen it wrong any other place. The only other one is like a single T at the end, which, but I mean, you know, not everyone can be perfect, so that's all right.
Okay, so Joggen Bennett with one T is the ultimate combination of that. Well, let's go back to the more traditional, important questions that the fans like to ask. And I have to keep George and Gav back in the podcast too. So why don't we go with George, Gav after John? So John first and George and Gav. The important one from Crab, brackets, bromine lover. John, what's your toothbrush colour?
Blue.
Is there any particular reason or just...
It's what it is.
It's
blue toothbrush.
This is the important stuff that people tune in for. George, please, tell us.
Mine, I'm pretty sure, is black. So a bit boring. Not quite as
boring. Sebastian Montoya had black as well as his answer, which I found fascinating because I've not really seen many black toothbrushes.
Just
I felt
clean,
that was like
understated. You know?
Quite gothy, I would call it. Gav, do you want to save us away from the black colour?
I could do you one better. It's sitting on my desk right now.
Oh, this is what we want!
Look at that. It's It's from one of those airplane cheap ones you get. I'm quite embarrassed to say.
It's a colour we need. I mean, forget the colour.
It's white.
Nice. It's a white. Okay, so we've got white, black, and blue, which is. Sean, you're the most colourful one here. That's surprising. There's a question again from Coldplay McPing fan, but I'm going to let them get away with getting two because it's intriguing me. Because they've asked, Jogan, how did you end up becoming fluent in Spanish?
I've just studied Spanish my whole time at school, really. I'm a rare racing driver that actually went to school and actually completed GCSEs and A-levels like a normal child. I only really started racing when I was 16, so I think that comes into it. But yeah, just always studied Spanish, did Spanish at A-level, always loved it. Hola.
When you say fluent, is it actually that you are fluent and you can have a full-on Spanish conversation landing in Madrid and off you go?
No, I'm definitely not fluent, but I can hold my own if I go to Spain. But yeah, fluent is definitely a push, but it sounds better than saying I can hold my own in Spanish.
I mean, if you say you're fluent, you might have Campos phoning up any second now for an F3 scene.
If it helps that deal get across the line, then you can definitely sound fluent.
As somebody who's been learning Spanish on Duolingo and finding the intricacies of that language, I don't know what the word be in Spanish, but a nightmare. Wow, I'm impressed. It's not an easy thing to learn, so good on you. That's I guess even rarer still for an English person to be fluent or relatively fluent in a second language. We're pretty useless at that. Les Voitures on la Parole, another question, a regular question asker, because I can never pronounce the name, wants to know Prost or Senna?
It's got to be Senna, to be honest.
Go on. Any particular reason? I just say
on raw pace, he's just got to be one of the greatest ever. I think, you know, watching back races, it's that like flair of a driver that is the most interesting to see, really. I have so much respect for both of them, but I'd say there have been a lot more memorable moments with Senna than with Prost, for me at least. But.
Is it? Well, there have been a lot of memorable moments with both of them at the same time, in the same corner, in the same place. But the thing that I was wondering, is it something you do? You watch old races quite often, or...?
A little bit. I wouldn't say I'm a huge F1 historian, but I think it is good to watch back things, just see how driving styles have changed. And I mean, I'm just a fan of motorsport, so we'll watch some old stuff back.
That's weird. Prost is intelligence and the knowledge I have, because I'm the same, I'm not an F1 historian, it's almost gone like past into legend sort of levels, and I just hear the stories rather than form my own opinions a little bit. But I find it really fascinating with people, it's always just Prost or Senna, and you can only choose one. Like, I can respect Hamilton and Verstappen, but I mean, you've said it now, you hate Prost, so that is forever on your CV. There's a question here from Hoopov hashtag Barashi Nation. I don't know what that means, so if that's offended people, I'm so sorry. Who's the best driver that you have raced against?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Obviously, being in GB3 for 3 years, I've gone against a lot of very good drivers, to be honest. And it really depends which way you want me to go. If it's toughest to race against, most scared, scary person, or just fastest.
Well, you've said that now. It's scary. Who's a scary person?
To be fair, the scary ones are just people that you just absolutely know they'd never look in their mirrors, and just you're gonna be sent.
You've got a name and shame. You can't just drop that in and just try and run away from it.
No, I cannot name and shame. I'd say greatest. I mean, best driver raced against. I definitely have a lot of respect for Luke Browning. I think, especially, you know, that was my first year in single seaters, and he was always kind of the benchmark to me. I had a lot to learn, and I kind of always tried to see what he was doing the most. I'd probably go with Luke, but like I said, there's been a lot of very good drivers, and it's always hard to tell, you know, you've got differences in teams, cars, whatever, but yeah, I'd say Luke, and also, you know, what he's gone on to do is a testament to what he's capable of. So.
Yeah, the FIA, current, as we record, FIA F3 championship leader, Luke Browning, so yeah, it's a good one to say. As George somewhat suggested, the drivers are coming out of this. Yeah, pretty damn good, pretty damn good. Another person has asked, Dan, superficial, which is an interesting interesting name. Jorgen, what's your favourite... Who's your favourite driver in the paddock, should I say? Who?
I think a lot of people in GB3 wouldn't be surprised to hear this, but it would be James Headley.
George, you're nodding, telling me there. What's the story? What's the real story?
I just see a little nice little bromance going on.
Well, he's actually at my house right now, if you want to know.
Where is Game On?
I could probably get him in if you wanted to, but
he was a bit nervous to come on. I've been telling him.
Well, you've been bigging up the podcast, you know, all this time. Like, oh, well, watch this all the time. Come on.
But
well, proper bromance if he's coming around to admire your trophy collection there.
Yeah, we've both actually been training up at Silverstone today, but yeah, he does kind of live at my house now. My dad has said he's adopted him, so we're pretty close. But...
Well, there's another question. I'm not going to say it's from, but they've asked, who's your favourite teammate?
Ooh, is that past and present, or is that just currently?
Because why don't you take it the way that you want to take it?
Oh, that's such a spicy question. well, I'll go for past, because I'll say James Headley, because his teammates with him in Elite, so that's a very diplomatic answer. So, I'll say James.
George, again, sorry to drop you in it, but is there there's a story behind this question you were suggesting to me?
Well, not necessarily a story, but just the asker might have a certain preferred answer. But, yeah.
Josh Earfan, is that the name on Discord?
Right. Yeah, he's an absolute trash teammate, bottom tier. Would not recommend.
I was waiting for you to say, like, no, I'm just joking, but you've gone full in on that, so... All right. Hatman F1. After removing the knife from his back. Hatman F1, your greatest race and why?
My greatest race?
Yes, your greatest race, yeah.
Well, it's got to be Alton Park Race 2 this season, winning round outside of Louis Sharp. That was quite a nice one. Set fastest lap every lap of the race after that. Until the very last lap when there were some yellow flags. And I quite literally backed off by 2 seconds through the yellow flag zone because I was not risking another penalty for the third win in a row. So, but yeah, that's got to be my favourite race I've ever had. So.
Oh, congratulations to it. It's a long time coming. So, yeah, well done. And then this one, I don't know if there's a backstory behind this. So just for context, I'm not on the Discord all that much, but I know there's very active there's a very active community. So there's in jokes, which I don't know if I'm not getting, but Ryugen wants to know, what is your sleep schedule? Why are they asking that?
I feel like that's an innocent question. I don't think there is any backstory, to be honest. Not that I know of, anyway.
And what is your sleep schedule?
It's about a... Well, it depends on the day, but I try and wake up by 7 every day.
Oh, that is grim.
in bed by about 10 or 11. Yeah, I used to be quite bad at sleeping, stay up late, wake up late. But yeah, this season I've been waking up at 7 every day, going for a run first thing. So, yeah, they feel a lot better to be in that swing so you're ready for the race weekend. So.
How long are you running for when you first get up?
Usually around about anywhere between 5 and 20k is what I run.
Jeez, when you wake up.
Yeah, that's something James Headley's actually got me onto. We both every morning at 7 we text each other good morning just to make sure we're both up, and then we both go about on our runs. So.
Accountability friends, I like that. Gav, George, are you 7 a.m. out running type people, or are you lazy sods like me who can barely get out of bed?
Oh, I mean, not out running, that's for sure. I don't quite have that dedication. I mean, college kind of forces my hand. I'm not really have to be on the same kind of schedule as Sean, sadly.
Yeah. And Gav, for you, I mean, I know you guys are younger than me, and I'm fortunately freelance, so I can set my own schedule. So if I wake up at 9:30 or 8:30, it's all the same. But Gav, 7 a.m. out for a 20k run.
Sort of echoing George, really. Up at 7, but more panic doing homework than getting the exercise in.
Right, final few questions. I've got one that I want to ask at the end, but this one came from Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called. And I need to just highlight the username, Elvis the Sheep. Now, I clicked on their profile and the bio said, it's a picture of the sheep. I don't own the sheep or know what the sheep's name is, but I hope it's Elvis, was the bio for Elvis the Sheep. But they wanted to know, if you could race on any track that you haven't raced on before, what would it be?
Hungary, to get some experience for later in the year.
That is a cop-out answer.
No, I'd definitely say... I was going to say definitely Monaco, just because, I mean, it just looks so good. Obviously, the racing's not too great, but yeah, I think from a driving perspective, that's got to be the one, I'd say.
For the experience. No, I get that. That's I was going to say there is a right answer to this because I've got some favourite tracks, but Monaco, I think, is actually a really good shout. George, you're a big sim racer, and what would you say in your way would be the one that you'd want to translate from sim racing to reality if you could?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, Silverstone is my local track. That's what, like, half an hour from me. So that kind of feels like the correct response. But I really love Brands Hatch. I always like going there, you know, to report on whatever I was there in the summer. And that was probably my favourite round, to be fair. It's a pretty fun track to drive. I'm sure John can probably echo that with the high-speed corners.
Mm-hmm. Very good track.
Gav, are you going to wave the British flag here and go with that? Because George has got very patriotic with his answers.
I'm going to be honest, I'm going to say something that might sound quite terrible to any proper Brit, but I'm going to say Po in France.
Oh,
yeah.
That is completely out of nowhere, but yeah, I like that.
Fair, that's got me thinking of Macau, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So now we go deeper into the question, and you mean you've all missed Interlagos and the Red Bull Ring, which are the ones I'd be going straight for.
I was also thinking of Interlagos, to be honest. I was doing it on the sim today. What a track. What a place.
In what machinery?
Well, today it was in an F3 car. I mean, doing it in an F3 car would be pretty cool.
It would. By the way, just on the sim side of things, George, what's your I rating? Like 10,000 or something ridiculous?
Sadly, not quite that high. About 5,000, roughly.
Have you two raced against each other, like the GB3?
I don't think so. Maybe, but we just didn't realise.
I saw James actually actually quite a while ago, to be fair, at Brands Hatch, ironically. But yeah, I don't think I've bumped into you yet, John.
Right.
I want to see you two racing, because if the reporter starts beating the driver, that's going to be great fun in the paddock.
I feel like I actually have seen you in a server at some point. I feel like I definitely saw a George Brabner, and I was like, that surely can't be the feeder series guy. And then I learned that you do iRacing,
celebrity.
And I was like, that's the feeder series guy. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm sure we'll bump into each other at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
When it happens, you got to let us know how it goes. Final few questions. The one here is from Ifoz. What would your order be from a kebab shop? I'm gonna note this is the longest you've took to answer a question, like out of all of the questions.
I'd just say let's give it a mixed grill, just a bit of everything. Can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look like jack of all trades sort of answer. Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. I can't argue. But we have to end with this question. And again, I'm not going to tell you who it's from, just to add to the pressure. But who's your favourite commentator? They're just asking for a mate.
Is there any chance that's been asked by a certain Lewis McGlade?
Who knows who asked the question? You just got to answer it honestly.
I don't know if I want to get ice cold just like Chris McCarthy, but I'll give it to Lewis. I like a bit of Lewis, especially that, you know, that commentary on my sharp move, you know, absolutely love it. He just brings, you know, a lot of hype to the commentary box, which I do enjoy.
That question was from a Martin Brundle, and now he's really afraid. No, it was Lewis McGlade. So I think you've done well getting out of that one, Mr. Jogon. No, Jogon Bennett. Can't even get it wrong. Jogon Bennett, as he says in commentary as well, which I think is great banter. Well, that's all the questions we have. I don't know if there's anything, George or Gav, if you have any burning questions you want to ask John while he's here, or are we happy to call it a day?
I think I'm happy.
Yeah. Yep. I think
we're happy. Well, John, I've got to say, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for battling through the traffic at such last minute. I know it was probably the last thing you wanted to do after being in the car for what must have seemed like 7 hours today. And then come and join us. But hand on heart, really appreciate you watching the podcast and getting involved this time. I hope it's, some people want to be an F1 world champion. Some people want to be on the Feeder Series podcast. And now you've realized your dream. So happy to make that happen for you. I'm going to say that's all the time we have.
Thanks with John Bennett.
Thank you to everybody for watching and listening. If you are watching on YouTube, dropping a like on the video, leaving a comment and subscribing to the channel all really helps us out. And if you are listening, leaving a review on the podcast platform you're listening on is greatly appreciated. Finally, check out feederseries.net for more Feeder Series insight and follow Feeder_Series and FS Americas on X and Feeder Series Net on Instagram. You can find the links to all of those, plus where to find everyone else on this podcast in the YouTube description or the podcast show notes. Until next time, we have been the Feeder Series Podcast. Goodbye.